Dark Agent by Neil Asher, read by Peter Noble. This is the second audiobook in the Time's Shadow trilogy. Once again, I'd like to dedicate a book to the readers out there. My readers are an interesting bunch from many branches of life. I get a bit of a thrill and somewhat of imposter syndrome when an astrophysicist, biologist, geneticist, or the like ambles by to tell me how much they enjoy my books. I got that in a big way recently when Stanford professor Gary Nolan recommended them on Joe Rogan. Bloody hell, the biggest podcast in the world. It tickles me, too, when from some I'll get nasty comments about my politics, meanwhile knowing that two fans, the MPs David Davis and Clive Lewis, sit at ends of the party political spectrum of the UK that could not be more opposing. Fiction can transcend divides if you let it, and if it will let you. But back to you guys out there who aren't cruising through the upper echelons, but who are nevertheless the backbone of my world. To be frank, I wasn't going to write any more books involving Cormac, because of the requirement for Cormac kryptonite. But you guys kept on pushing, and so I delivered. Because you matter to me. Prologue. Mask. Future past. The remote units, each a kilometre-long hollow tube, wrapped in sophisticated hardware consisting of electromagnets and hard-field generators, finally reached the positions she required of them. The advanced human, whom Ian Cormac had named Mask, was ensconced in her interdiction sphere, and observed these units with a breadth and depth of vision that could encompass them all, while simultaneously being able to see their every detail. Their data, running into her primary mind in her glassy body, informed her of their readiness. However, turning her attention to the burning debris of an entire solar system being systematically ripped and crushed by tidal forces as it fell into a black hole, she saw that the energy source wasn't ready. She then shifted her sphere through vacuum towards the receiver at the focus of those remotes. The receiver was a dish 50 kilometers across. It had objects similar to the remotes, but much larger, gathered around its rim to direct the energies inwards. Pseudomatter waveguides in the dish were there to receive this energy, then concentrated on the technology lying at the center, whose focal point was four incurved horns. Mask knew that when the agent Cormac had seen a similar device on Kull of this time period, the design would have looked to him like that of an old-style Runcible, though with four horns instead of two. A Runcible with another dimension added. It was a simplistic view of the thing, but not incorrect for all that. Upon reaching the receiver, Mask checked its feeds to ensure everything was correct. It was, of course. On moving into the dish, she passed the stationary remotes and drifted over the gleaming waveguides to finally settle her sphere right in the center of the time runcible. She turned on reception from an object she'd placed at the event horizon of the black hole. It was held in place there by an immense balancing of gravitational forces and drew the energy for them from the event horizon itself. As ever, on occasions such as this, she resisted the urge to open up the partitions of her mind. She didn't want to know what she already knew. The AI, Penny Royal, had come this way long in the past, to her present perspective, and entered this black hole, once named Leyden's Sink. Penny Royal could handle the complications of time travel extending down the probability slope, through the infinity of timelines. Mask, still clinging